The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
The Warren Exchange with your hosts, Al Warren and Julie Hughes.
Thanks for joining us at the Warren Exchange Paranormal Radio Show. Tonight, we have the founders of the Ontario Gay Paranormal Society out of Ontario, Canada. We have Mark Leroux. He's the founder and head leader of the Paranormal Society. He's also a medium and works in mental health. Then we have the co-founder, Trevor Bishop. Now, his abilities are more EVP analyzer of the team. He's sensitive toward spirits and clairaudience and TV show producer. And he also does the ghost walks for Kitchener, Ontario. And we'll talk to them right after these words.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You can listen to us anytime, anywhere now. Download our free app now for the iPhone and iPad. Look for the Warren Exchange or House of Mystery app at the Apple App Store today.
I am living on channel.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
I am living on channel Z.
We're back, and joining us, the two, I guess, co-founders of the Ontario Gay Paranormal Society. Now, with us is Mark and Trevor. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us on today.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so now, Mark, you're the kind of the head founder, so was it you that came up with the original idea to start this?
Yeah, it was actually basically my idea. Trevor and I had sort of been talking and all this and that, but for myself, though, I've been actually active ever since the age of six within the paranormal industry, and then found out my great-grandmother, she was a spiritual doctor. So it does flow quite strong, actually, within my blood.
And so what happened? Like, what was your first encounter?
My first encounter was actually at the age of six. My parents, I was living with, and they had a bungalow. And their room was across from mine, but their door was closed. I woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning and saw two apparitions come from the basement, stand in front of the doorway. And approximately at the age of six, I pinched myself to see if I was awake, and yeah, I could feel it. So I was watching them, and they were communicating with each other, but the spirits, like the apparitions, were basically gentlemen that had polite comments, and then they drifted offwards. So that really opened me up.
Well, how did you feel about that? I mean, at the age of six, did you kind of know what it was that was happening, or what did you think?
Well, at the time, though, I was like, okay, fine, sort of fall asleep. But I was used to go to church, and I obviously used to ask the pastors, well, there's what you guys claim, though, is a heaven and a hell, but what's really between? And none of them got in contact back with me with a full legit answer. So that really intrigued me more, actually, throughout the years. And then, again, that was right when I was 19, I realized I was a channeler.
And so now, what did you do with that? I mean, I see that you're trained in the mental health field. So do you think that influenced you to get into the mental health field?
Well, it did. Plus, also, I'm a person that's suffering actually from mental health check myself. But it does help out strongly within the cases, because I can actually go in, and if since I'm trained within the mental health of Canada, I can actually go in and say, okay, if the person does have the signs, or if the person is actually really experiencing it.
And Trevor, now let's see. Now you're a co-founder, so how did it start for you?
For me, it was a little bit older than Mark's age. It didn't start for me until I was about 25 years old. And I was living by myself at the time in an apartment when I had my first experience. I can tell you a bit about it. Basically, what happened was I was just walking home, and I came home one afternoon after work. Walked up to my door, which has a couple of steps leading up to it. There's about three or four steps. So I walked up the steps, started opening a door to my apartment, and as soon as I opened the door, I could sense this energy right in front of me. It felt like I could sense it was looking at me. I knew it was there. It knew I was there. And all of a sudden, it just rushed at me. I could sense it rushing at me so hard that it actually knocked me back down about two or three steps that I walked up. And as soon as I did that, I could sense it coming past me and then up into the air. I could follow it with my senses, and then it just sort of dissipated in the air. But that was my first sort of experience that drew me into the paranormal. Soon after that, my grandparents started passing away and stuff like that, and that intrigued me more, and I started doing more research and stuff like that. So that's really what started it for me.
At age 25, when it first happened, where were you coming from? Like, as in the sense of, like, were you following a religious path, or were you... what did you think of this? Like, was it a complete surprise?
No, it wasn't a religious path. I'm not religious. I'm just spiritual. That's what I would classify myself as. So for me, it was totally more a surprise to me. I was, at the time, sort of into it. I would watch the paranormal shows that were on TV at the time and stuff like that. But I wasn't fully into it like I am now, like an actual paranormal investigator. But I was really more shocked at what happened to me at that point that drew me in more to find out more what happened.
So how did you guys find each other? Did you find each other before the group started, or did you start the group later? Like where did that all happen?
Well, Trevor and I, we met each other across one of the gay social chat boxes. Yes. But the thing, though, is we started talking all this night, and it was months beforehand, and then all of a sudden I said to Trevor, well, why don't we just check out this location, because I found out Trevor was sort of interested in the paranormal industry, and first location that we went to, all we had, though, was digital cameras, a Frank box, which is what most people actually have that start off with the paranormal, but we've actually built from there. So,
okay, and so now you started the group. How many people do you have in the group now?
It's basically Trevor and myself right now, though, that we stand. And we actually have a friend of ours. She's ordained within the Spiritual Church of the United States and Canada. So she honestly is one of our behind-the-scenes person, though, that we actually go to. Before we started a case, it's like, okay, well, what do you pick up? And also what we deal with those. We also not only go to her, but we also look at the history, actually, of the location before we touch any tools that are going directly into the place.
So now, are you guys doing just paranormal, as in ghost hunts or haunted places, or you do other things with the group as well?
No, we don't limit it to just the ghost hunting. We also are broadening our cases, I guess you could say, as into other areas of the paranormal. We also delve into a lot to do with Bigfoots, which is thought to be also paranormal, as well as we touch on some UFO cases as well, but not as deep as ghost or Bigfoot cases.
And what do you find that you get the most of? Is it more of a haunted place, as in a business or a company, or is it more of a family sort of place?
It's been more of a family thing, like houses or residential. But we've done about 50-50, I would say, so far in our cases since 2010. We've had a lot of businesses that we've done, a lot locally, but I'd say it'd be about 50-50 still that we've done, right, for cases between residential and business, so... we also have done some historical as well, so we've been some first teams into some historical locations also.
And so, before we get into some of that, what do you like best? Like, what's your favorite call to get?
Well, for me, though, since I take care of that industry, that section, whenever somebody sends us a message over top of our website, I'll get in contact with the person, I'll talk with them, sort of counseling, vice versa. But for me personally, is being actually not at the location, but looking actually at a photograph actually of the location. I can actually pick up more history to do with that location than actually what books actually offer.
Let's talk about some of your cases. Like, what did you find is the, what has been the most interesting or most, I don't want to say scary, but just the one that's made you think the most in a case that you've had.
There is a location in the town, though, that we live in. Sorry, not town, but the city. And we've been at this location so many times. It was once owned by Saints Choice, and it was a hotel. Meanwhile, also a bar, like three different bars. Top music people actually performed at this location. Mm-hmm. But each time that we go back, we keep on getting stuff, and we get calls actually from the guy though that's in charge with the maintenance actually of the building. He keeps on calling us because there's so much claims that go on, and it's an ongoing case with us.
Yeah, we've investigated that location about 6 or 7 times now, and it just keeps drawing us back and drawing us back. So it's one location we know really well. We know the history. And it's definitely one location that we even bring our new trainees or colleagues that we work with just to see how good they are, sort of test them out. And we usually bring them to that location because we know it so well.
Wow. And so what is your favorite thing to do?
The favorite thing to do for me, I guess we'll break that up into two different sections. One, what my favorite is and what Mark's favorite is. Because we each have our own specialties on the team, which makes us great for working together. My favorite part to do is definitely the EVP work. I love doing the analyzing after and trying to pick out the different sounds and analyzing what they say, stuff like that, either off of the Frank's box or off of the digital recorder itself. But for Mark, his is more...
Mine's more audio, like in video and also pictures. Sometimes, so I know pictures aren't really audio, but... It's more within, picture-wise, I can actually basically look at the picture and I actually can indicate right where certain things are. Now, if skeptics actually do send stuff to us, what I do, though, is I actually look at the pictures hardcore and I let them know if it is legit or if it's not. And also with video, what I do, though, is I take the video and actually slow it down at a way lower speed than what is normal.
Just frame by frame, just to analyze it more.
Wow. And so you guys have done a paranormal show, haven't you?
We have done a community show, and that was actually a large area where we live here in Ontario, which is the Warloo region. And we basically took people to, like, through the show, to haunted historical places, gave actually what's haunted, why is it haunted, and also got the people who actually work at the locations to be actually on and for them to explain what has happened to them.
So what did you, how long did the show last, and how many episodes did you do?
The show was, we actually got in 8 full episodes. We shot it all ourselves. The company we were with, they did all the editing, and they aired it, of course, on their station. So it was sort of half and half combination, but we did manage to get a full 8 episodes in of all the local stuff around the region, so it was great.
And it was only 1 year, though, that we actually did it.
Yeah, we just did it for 1 year, so.
Wow. And so you've worked with some interesting people as well?
Yes.
Yeah, we have. Most people there are actually into the paranormal. They probably know the people. Their name is Jackie and Steve. Jackie is with Rescue Mediums, and also there is Steve from Feathers. They are both from England, Manchester and Norwich is right where they're from. Anyways, so we've actually helped them out with one location, which is actually in Ontario. It's Colberg Jail. Once was a jail. Closed off in 96.
97, I think.
And now what they've done, though, is they've actually changed the rooms actually into inns. There's a bar there, like a restaurant, and also the original bar cells are actually in some of the suites.
Wow. So was there any case that really frightened you?
Not frightened me, but one thing has happened that I had a friend in Trevor. Since I am a Chandler, we were actually at one location, and it's called Allura Gorge. It's really beautiful. There was an old hotel, and people have committed suicide by jumping off, landing actually into the gorge. Anyway, so I'll let Trevor explain.
Yeah, what happened was that kind of freaked me out was Mark actually got, I would say, semi-possessed or even channeled at that point. He was walking up towards the gorge, there's a little half wall there that people can sort of look out over the gorge. And all of a sudden what happened was he started walking away from me up the driveway. I tried to see what was going on with him, but he just kept walking. And what was weird about it was his one foot, his right foot, was actually twisted 90 degrees. And his other foot was the same normal way, he's like straight forward. So he's kind of wobbling almost up the driveway, and I had to run and catch him just so he wouldn't fall over. So what happened was, I think what was going on was that a spirit must have possessed him or channeled him away from the wall, just because there's been so many suicides at that location that the spirit didn't want him jumping over the wall.
Wow.
And that kind of freaked me out a bit. But
yeah, yeah. So what are your beliefs in things, so that we can kind of put that in perspective? Like, so are you believing in, demons and possessions, exorcisms?
Actually, my full belief, though, is I'm actually pagan, the oldest religion actually out there, older than Christianity. And when you said about demons, we never call them demons. We call them negative energy. The reason why is because you never really want to offend anybody to do with any culture or any religion.
No.
So we do the yin-yang sign, which is positive and negative.
So when we're investigating cases, we always try to stay on the outside of people's beliefs. That way you can investigate things properly and actually bring evidence forward, not their beliefs. And the way we do that, like Mark said, is we try to use the words positive or negative when we deal with energy and spirits, rather than putting a religious tag to things.
But right where we live, though, is richly native land, like along the Grand River, actually in Ontario, which was originally all native. So what we do, though, is we actually do the native actually cleansings, which is with white sage, sweet grass, and also tobacco. So we burn all of them actually together, And also those, we do the native ritual prayer for the natives, since most of the energy around this area is all natives. And we do also live in a haunted house.
Oh, okay. So. That must be interesting.